I wanted to talk to professor of history at DePaul, author and terrorism expert Tom Mikaitis this morning. Tom, I like to call you my human Prozac, and I'm hoping you can help with that again, because we're going to be talking about Israel and Palestine. I got an alert this morning on my phone that said Palestinian officials say Israeli raids across the occupied West Bank have killed at least 9 Palestinians. So take it away. That's my alert I woke up to today.
Yeah, good morning. Always cheerful news in the morning when we get up. I think actually this is moving in a slightly direction. The big worry that everybody had did not materialize, and that was that the fighting in the across the northern border with Hezbollah would escalate into a larger conflict and even a regional war. What both sides opted to do was to exchange fire. Israel conducting an intense series of raids, Hezbollah firing rockets and missiles into Israel, and both of them declaring they'd accomplished their goal. Doesn't mean it's resolved, but it means for the moment it's not flaring up. The other operation is a little bit of a surprise, and what makes it disturbing is that it occurs against the background of pretty extensive settler vigilante violence against Palestinians in efforts to seize more land, and I wonder whether this won't be a cover for that. On the other hand, there seems to have been some evidence of extremist activity. The problem is, without outside observers operating in a populated area and claiming you're going after terrorists is something that's hard to verify, but also hard to refute.
Okay, so Hamas is one issue, and Hezbollah is another. Are they working together?
Yes and no. I don't know of any direct communication, but Hezbollah certainly is operating in support of Israel. Now, that's sort of ironic in the sense that Hezbollah is, in fact, a Shia organization. Hamas is a Sunni one, but it's the enemy of my enemy is my friend kind of thing. And so they have been working in tandem. So, too, to a lesser extent, are the Houthis operating out of what is today Yemen. And though they have been kept quiet, partly because of U.S. attacks on them as well, they've been targeting shipping in the Red Sea. So there is this regional network of like-minded groups working in support of Hamas, but how much close coordination there is difficult to say. It's not true that Iran controls them, although they are connected to Iran and Iran funds and supplies them.
Somewhat good news, a hostage in Gaza has been rescued after 326 days of captivity. The UN doing what it can to deliver aid to Gaza. And from what we're seeing in the news, Hamas has rejected Netanyahu's conditions for a ceasefire. Where are we now?
No further than we've been in weeks. The disturbing thing there is the humanitarian crisis is just reaching epic proportions. There was a case of a baby with polio, with raw sewage dumped near drinking water and in the sea. There are endemic diseases breaking out. There isn't enough supplies getting in. And the thing behind that, whether Hamas rejected it, Netanyahu, by their reports, and I think by other international reports, keeps upping the ante and adding demands. I think there's serious doubt that he really wants a ceasefire. He wants to keep this going until he manages to get rid of Hamas, which even his own military said is impossible. But also, he doesn't want to fall from power. He's beholden to the right-wing leaders in his coalition government. And, of course, he doesn't want to answer for why October 7th happened. So what you have is a combination of factors, but it's not looking terribly good. In an election year, the United States is going to remain relatively quiet. You heard Vice President Harris's very careful comments at the convention, and mm-hmm. she made it really clear, calling for peace, defending Israel's right to exist, defending the rights of Palestinians, to their own land and so on. But I think Netanyahu knows perfectly well in an election there aren't going to be any bold moves out of Washington.
Well, we appreciate you coming mm-hmm. on, and listeners, you can follow Tom Mikaitis on Twitter, X, whatever you call it, at Dr. Mikaitis. I will spell it at DRMOCK. AITIS. Thank you for jumping on. I like to go to the top and find out information, and you're definitely the top of the heap here.
Well, thank you, and you and your listeners have a good day.
You as well. Professor of History at DePaul, terrorism expert, author Tom Mikitis.